Yeah, good afternoon, Lee. Thanks for having me on your show again.
No, not a worry. Now, let's talk about the interest rate rise. 0.5% yesterday. It's going to affect a number of people, not only on the northwest coast, but right around the state. And I think we're adding $44 a week to the average mortgage. So another stretch. They just keep coming, don't they?
It is. We're actually in Parliament this week, and we've got estimates. So we're going through the budget numbers. And while I was questioning the state's treasurer, actually, it came through that there was going to be a 0.5% rise, which was a bit of a shock, I think. I don't think people were expecting it to go up that much. So it is going to have an impact on people, on paying their mortgages. The idea to try and bring inflation under control is to take money out of people's pockets, really. So that means that people are going to feel it. But also it means that the state budget's going to feel it. And that was the sort of on that line of questioning for a while.
Now, we kind of talk about this each time we're on the phone with each other, is the fact that life is just costing more and more and more, but that's the way of the world right now, isn't it?
It is. We've got a few problems stacking up. We've got problems getting stuff into the country because of supply chains breaking down, factory shutting in China and the like, so there's less things for people to buy, so people are paying more for it. The house prices are going through the roof, but also fuel, as we keep talking about, puts the full fuel price rises, puts the price of everything up. So, yeah, it's a full-blown cost of living crisis. So this interest rate people are going to feel it. The state budget's going to feel it too. What will that do for the revenue of the state? Because we rely on GST, and if people are spending less, then that'll have an impact. But also, as I've spoken about before, the state's got a bit of debt now, so that means our interest rates will go up. So it'll be felt at the state level as well as the household level. But I just hope that that we can get inflation under control and we don't see continual interest rate rises that will really hurt people, especially young families.
I know what we should do. I know we'll fix it. How about a $700 million AFL stadium in Hobart?
Yeah, well, I don't think that's going to do much at all. We've been banging on about it, but we found out through questioning this week a few more details, and we've got some right to information requests coming back that show that $750 million that was only really a back of the envelope calculation. Like they, what do you reckon, mate? $750 million, but that doesn't take into account any so-called site costs, site-specific costs. And I mean, used to go rowing at the regatta grounds. They used to have a regatta there, the Royal Hobart Regatta, every year. And I know that it's very deep there. I mean, you only got to look around. There's a wharf. So there's going to be some concrete, some massive concrete monstrosity with an opening roof sitting on, 30 to 40 metre concrete piers. I mean, if they could ever build it there, it's going to cost $1 billion at least. So, and the AFL, it wasn't part of the deal to get an AFL team. Mm. So, yeah, it's one of those things. So 1 week we had the Commonwealth Games and that sort of died in a ditch, and then a couple of weeks later it was this, what we call the floating stadium out there in Hobart.
I thought it was dead. I thought it was dead and buried, but apparently it's still on the cards.
Well, I don't know how long they can keep going on it, really. Like, I just don't think you can build it. Like, for any sort of reasonable amount of money, because it gets really deep there really quick. And plus you've got the cemetery, which is, like, very important for, our return service people. I don't know. But what does that mean? You've got, you're willing to spend $1 billion in Hobart. What does that mean for AFL games? Does that mean that all of them are going to be in Hobart? Like, I just think that we've probably got other priorities at the moment.
Cricket's not enough. They need it all down south.
Well, we've got two big stadiums already.
Yeah.
We've got Belrive, we've got York Park. We spend a third of that, and we can get both those stadiums, up to around the 25,000 seating capacity, and we have games in the south, games in the north. Why wouldn't that work? Why do we need to spend $1 billion on,
I know what option I'd prefer, but I don't sign the checks, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we need it, and I think we could spend that $700 billion probably on many, many other things.
Hospitals, housing, ambulance. There's a couple of other people crying out for some cash. Hey, let's move on now. Power prices and the national electricity market. Sick of hearing this word crisis being thrown around and attached to every single commodity at the moment. Is it really that bad? And even if it is, are Tasmanians going to be bearing the brunt of this?
Well, again, these are the questions we've been trying to get stuck into in Parliament, in estimates. So we know that the national electricity market is just going bonkers because of these gas shortages. We're exporting all this gas, and all of a sudden there's some coal-fired power stations that aren't working, that are being shut down or aren't operating. They've got maintenance and so on. So then all of a sudden electricity prices are skyrocketing. Now, we haven't really felt that here yet, but the government promised in 2018 that we were going to separate ourselves from the national electricity market, the NEM, as it's called. And the government, you know, promised that that's what they were going to do. Have you done it? Are you going to do it? Is that your policy? And the government just won't answer. And then eventually they cave in after about 10 times asking the same question. They say, well, no, we're not going to disconnect from the national energy market, which means that these massive changes in electricity price on the mainland are going to come through and affect Tasmania. So, wait and see. Hopefully we can keep a lid on it as much as possible, but the government said that they were going to disconnect from the national electricity market. Now they're walking away from that, so after 4 years. Extraordinary, really.
Let's cover off on ambulance ramping. We hear this day in, day out on our news here, I know that much. How's the problem going to be fixed? Are we working toward it? I mean, you've been in those budget estimates the last couple of days. Are they throwing any money at our hospitals?
Well, they talk about trying to employ some more ambulance officers, which is obviously a good thing. Trying to find them is pretty hard. But we heard that there's something like over 14,000 patients spent something like 20,000 hours ramped in ambulances in the last 9 months. Mm. So, I mean, this is a lot. And it costs a lot of money too, because there's something like just in April, almost $300,000 just in overtime for ambulance staff who couldn't go home because they've got a patient in an ambulance waiting to get them in the hospital.
I mean, we speak about this most times, Shane, and it seems it's going to be the same story. It's been the same story for the last 12 months, or the same for the last 10 years, if you really want to be honest. So where do we see this going in the next 12 months, 10 years? Will there be a solution, or are you going to be talking about this when we're old men?
Well, we've just got to get patients through the hospital. Now, I mean, the government did announce a policy change, which was about making it easier to transfer patients between hospitals. So what happens at the moment if you transfer a patient, then instead of going straight into a hospital bed, like if they go from Northwest Regional to Launceston, for example, instead of going straight into a ward, they go through emergency again and have to be recategorised, you know, have a bit of a look at them and then admit them.
Yeah.
So the government has said, okay, let's get around that. And so if we're transferring a patient from one hospital to the other, they go straight through the ward, straight to the ward and not through emergency. So that should hopefully free up both the ambulance that took them there and also the bed in the emergency. Well, I really hope that it works. I mean, I think that the Nurses Federation has expressed some doubt, but that's the sort of thing we've got to look at. Now, the government are spending a little bit of money on better technology so that you don't have all these paper-based sort of processes when they're following patients around, that a lot of it's electronic, making it easy to keep hold of. Great, I hope it works.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to work on things like that, but we do need more ambulances. We need to get people in and out of emergency quicker. We need to get people discharged. So like, just simple things like having more pharmacists working of a weekend so you can discharge patients all weekend instead of having them to wait till Monday to get a script filled. That sort of thing.
Yep.
You know, we've got to look through the whole system and not just dabble at it, but, you know, root and branch, go through the whole lot, figure out whether the blockages are. Otherwise, we end up having 14,000 people waiting 20,000 hours ramped, and it's not good enough.
Well, that's just the tip of the iceberg on the whole scheme of things. Great to touch base with you again, even though we've only touched on a small number of things going on at the moment. What's going on at the moment with you in Parliament? When do budget estimates wrap up?
So we've been going since Monday. We've got tomorrow. So finish up tomorrow, and then we're back next week for a report back. So that's basically when we tell everybody what we found out in estimates, and then the budget's passed. So
well,
it takes 4 weeks.
I haven't spoken to you since the election. So what's changed for you? Anything?
Not much in terms of the federal election. In terms of the Labor Party in general, we picked up. We've now got a minister and an assistant minister.
Yep.
So Julie Collins is now Minister for Housing. So that's a very important role, and it's good to have a Tasmanian Member of Parliament in Cabinet, where most of the decisions are made.
Yeah.
So that's really good. But in terms of my day to day, not a lot's changed.
Don't need a new print off of business cards just yet.
No.
Very good.
State elections. actually, next time around, state and federal elections are going to line up at roughly the same time. So that'll be interesting. That's 3 years down the track.
Yeah, that'll be here before you know it.
Yeah,
it really will be. Yeah. Good on you, Shane Broad. Appreciate your time this summer on the Home Run.
Thanks, Lee. Appreciate it.